time to feel the rush of the round table. Brought to you by PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca. Are you really an independent contractor? Find out in seconds for free at PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca.
The pre-weekend edition of the round table begins for this Friday, the 19th of June. I'm Jay Michaels. That's Ryan Doyle. Partner at Upstream Strategy, Chris Chapin in the house. Hello, Chris.
Hey, guys.
And senior consultant at Crestview, Jaskaran Sandhu joins us as well. How are you, pal?
Doing well.
Excellent. Now that everybody's present and accounted for, let's start off with a conversation we just had with Toronto Mayor John Tory. Black Lives Matter Toronto saying that they want to see a 50% reduction or a cut to the $1.1 billion budget from Toronto Police. They want to see that money redirected to Black, Indigenous, racialized, impoverished, and other targeted communities. The mayor saying the 50% number might be high, but he's certainly open to having a re-examination and a conversation about how police look, how they operate, what the budget may be. He's open to the idea. He hasn't put any hard numbers on it, Jaskaran, but I find it interesting, at the very least, that we're at least having this debate. I think it's necessary. I think this conversation is vital, not just in these times where people are protesting out on the streets, but in general. We can't assume and make the assumption that the police service is running perfectly and it's serving everybody the proper way.
Yeah, and I think this is where the defund the police slogan comes from. It doesn't actually literally mean defund it to zero. It means let's look at police services. We can use the language that gets thrown around all the time. Let's find efficiencies within policing. But then also, police are not maybe the best served to do mental health calls. They're not best served to do social service type calls. But they're used for that. And it's a drain on the system. And they're not trained particularly for dealing with mental health cases. And there's other ways to do that within society and within the city and not eat up a huge chunk of the budget. And policing does. It's a huge financial strain on municipalities, on government. And it's time that we start taking a really hard look at finding ways to do policing better in this country.
Chris?
Listen, I don't disagree with Jaskaran on this at all. I probably my conservative bent would tell you I don't believe any government operation operates effectively. So I to Jaskaran's point about finding efficiencies, yeah, I mean, there always are ways to cut down on bloated spending and find better ways to spend that money without having to take more tax dollars from taxpayers. I think a lot has been made of this, that they're not mental health workers. I think what gets lost in a lot of these analysis are that the cops are often there accompanying mental health workers because they've been notified that there's a weapon present, et cetera. And that's not something we'd put a mental health worker, a situation we'd put them in. So I think that gets lost in a lot of this discussion just because it's an easy kind of out. So I think there's still a fundamental role that our police have to play to keep us safe. There's a reason we trust them to keep the rule of law in order. But I think we'd be fools to think there aren't better ways we could reutilize police spending and find a way to make people of all races and all cultures feel safer in our community.
It's going to be interesting to watch, too, Ryan, when we get a new chief, trying to keep everybody appeased, right? The rank and file, mm-hmm. The general public. Obviously, the police union. So I guess my question to you would be, if you're in policing and you're waiting for the pressure to come off of you, that hasn't happened yet. Probably not going to happen anytime soon. I know you've made the pledge on this radio station to keep that pressure on, to try and do better personally, professionally as well. Does it feel different at all right now for you as we move forward through the summer? Do you think change is actually coming? Do you think this will peter out as the summer progresses? Or do you think that we'll keep the foot on the gas when it comes to trying to do better?
I think change is coming, and I think it's going to come faster than a lot of people will believe it to come. I mean, it's going to be a challenge, and it's going to take levels of government to listen, but it seems, at least from my point of view, the government, we just talked to the mayor. He doesn't seem like he's shutting the idea down, whereas back in the day, 10, 15 years ago, not all that long ago, you would have politicians that would say no to the idea and then just try to move on from things. So I think that has changed a little bit, and I think you're going to start to see that momentum continue well into the winter months and well into 2021, where, they're going to need to get this right. Talking about something that the government isn't getting right, that has to do with the two Canadians that have been trapped in a Chinese prison for well over a year now. We found out today that they now will be officially charged and go through China's very just court system, which has a 100% conviction rate. I mean, they're just knocking it out of the park
get
in China.
Get it done.
Here's how
Talk
the Prime Minister... Right? Here's how the Prime Minister reacted today.
We are, of course, disappointed with the decision and the next step taken by the Chinese in the case of the two Michaels, and we offer all our support and sympathies to the families of Michael Kovrig and Michael Spavor, who are obviously living a difficult moment today, as they have been for well over a year with the arbitrary detention of two Canadian citizens.
Just, Karen, I made the point earlier, all the support and all the disappointment gets you only so far. This has been happening for well over a year. I don't think we've got a good handle on this file. I know it's difficult. I understand it's complicated. But that doesn't sound to me like a prime minister who's really invested in this and passionate about it.
Yeah, I think this is a big problem. And I think it's highlighting what's becoming increasingly clear to folks that are watching foreign policy and folks that are watching what's happening around the world, that China is becoming increasingly aggressive. And they're in a border skirmish right now with the Indian state. They're pushing on the South China Sea. They're threatening Taiwan. And they're willing to go toe-to-toe with Canada, a NATO country, and use two Canadians as a bargaining chip for the Huawei Meng case, right, and the extradition case that's happening there. And China's been pretty upfront about it, that this is us applying pressure, and they have no shame in saying so. And I think it's time that as a country and as Canada in our kind of global outlook and how we want to do things, there's about applying a principled approach to foreign policy, and that includes standing up against aggression from the Chinese communist regime that's increasingly putting pressure on Canada as well as other countries in the world.
Chris, you know, a lot of people wrote to me earlier on and said, well, what would you do about this? I think you maybe meet pressure with pressure. We've got a Huawei CEO that's sitting on house arrest in a comfortable mansion for the most part. These two individuals are sitting in a Chinese prison with the lights turned on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Maybe it's about time we said to that person who's posted bail, here's your bail money back. You're going to be sitting in general population until your trial's heard.
Yeah, I mean, it's, I guess, the benefit of being a radio host, but we've got the rule of law in this country, and that's what makes us, you know, the great nation
we
are.
It's more than one benefit, by the way, pal.
And I'm well aware. But, you know, in this case, we've afforded her the benefits we'd afford any Canadian citizen who's being held, you know, held. And so I think this boils down to, and I'm tired of hearing Canadian politicians not being held accountable, specifically the prime minister. If we had a stronger relationship with the United States, I don't believe this would be happening. But the prime minister has been baited into this world where he's been very critical of the president south of the border. And I am by no means a fan of Donald Trump, but they are our closest ally. And when the prime minister is out taking 20-second pauses on national television, creating national and international and global headlines about it, the United States is and always has been our bargaining chip. You know, we have the strongest partnership out of any two countries in the entire world. And that has really faded over the last several years. And that's because of the way I think we've kind of tried to pretend to be a little too cool on the global stage and downplay our traditional relationship with the United States. And as a result, like I, for those that don't really grasp what has exactly happened, I mean, we captured and detained Meng Wanzhou, the CFO for Huawei, at the behest and request of the United States government. The least they should be doing is applying their pressure through tariffs and everything else they can on the Chinese economy, but they're just not doing it because they have no desire to help Canada right now. And you can call it what you want, but the president's decided that he does not have any interest in helping this prime minister, I think, explicitly because of the way he's talked about him and treated him on the world stage, despite all the benefits we get by being such a close ally with the United States.
Do you think if you're looking for some campaign fodder, Ryan, I think you've actually given us a great idea for a campaign spot if you were in the market of going up against the current prime minister. You could take that footage that's pretty easy to find, stock footage of, you know, the mistreatment of people within, you know, prisons and foreign prisons, and then you split screen what the Michaels are going through in China with what the Huawei executive is going through in Canada and say, is this the type of country and is this the type of leadership that you want to be under?
Itself.
I mean, it really does. It really does. It took about 10 seconds because it's appalling. It's absolutely appalling. And real quickly, and so many people said this at 7:10:10, I couldn't agree more. The fact that they've got a cute nickname now, according to our prime minister, the two Michaels, that's got no teeth. How about these guys? How about these guys who could quite possibly die in prison? Quite possibly die in prison. How about for their families? You stop being so cheap.
Very likely will. Very likely will, because you know, as much as Jess Karen joked about the efficiencies of their almost 100% conviction rate, they will likely get convicted, and there's very little you can do once that passes.
Let's do a bit of a hard turn here. Some of the breaking news that we've had this afternoon. Maple Leaf superstar Austin Matthews has tested positive for COVID-19. A number of other players we're now hearing and team members when it comes to the Tampa Bay Lightning have tested positive. I've been reading stories about those in the NFL testing positive this afternoon. Just, Karen, just a very quick pulse here. You know, do you think that when we hear these stories that we might not be getting sports as fast or back to sports as fast as we originally thought we were going to in August?
Yeah, I find it hard to see sports coming back the way we think it will. The American South is absolutely bonkers right now with the amount of COVID cases that are spiking there, because they didn't take it seriously when they should have, and now they're dealing with the outbreaks everywhere, including Florida, including a lot of the southern states where people were thinking about maybe we hold sporting events there, like whether it's Disney or elsewhere. I don't think this happens as quickly as people are hoping for.
Chris, you know, you look at it, European soccer commenced in Great Britain this weekend. You know, you had a couple of games today. Man United, they drew. I know you're probably pretty pleased about that against Spurs. I mean, do you see any hope for the North American soccer sports leagues to come back on the targeted dates that they've set?
I'm still kind of torn on this. I've been going back and forth. I think one that I'm really interested in keeping an eye on, and this is so selfishly me, but is the PGA Tour, because I mean, they've been the first to really launch in North America. And today, one of the PGA players who was actually in the midst of his second round of the tournament today, was notified that he tested positive, and he pulled out of the tournament. I think they'll be a very interesting test case, because if golf can't contain it, none of these sports can contain it. You're literally playing in a field. And so I think that'll be a really interesting test case to see, you know, have they been able to separate the players? How seriously are the players taking it? You know, when they get back into the clubhouse after the round, are they keeping their distance? Because, you know, is this the only guy that's going to test positive, or is it going to turn out tomorrow that seven other guys tested positive because, you know, they were changing their shoes in the clubhouse near him? So I think that'll be a really interesting test case, using the PGA as an example, and see how it spirals out. But I mean, I'm starting to doubt whether we are going to get the sports back we thought we were in August.
Which is completely disappointing, and I wish you both a happy Father's Day. Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Thanks, guys.
This News Talk 1010 podcast was brought to you by PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca. Wrongfully dismissed? Changes made to your job? Lowballed on severance? Find out if you have a case before you call a lawyer. Go to PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca.